Your horse racing preview is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.
Delighted to say Martin Murphy joins us on the line. Martin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Patrick. How are you things?
I'm doing very well indeed, Martin. It's been quite a busy weekend, or a couple of weeks, I should say. But I suppose we should look back at Irish Champions weekend last week, and it was very much a successful weekend.
I think it was indeed, Patrick. Certainly, Leopardstown on Saturday, another big match on between Dublin and Kerry, took away some of the crowd, but they said over 13,000 people there. Beautiful weather, great win for Magic, I have to say, in the Quick Road Champions Stakes. I think she really deserved that. Bit of a hard luck story at heart for Deirdre and the Japanese challenger. Finished forward, probably should have been definitely second, I think. Bushy Murphy got into a bit of trouble around at the last bend and early in the straight. She did finish very well, but unfortunately Magical had flown at that stage, and there's no doubt that Magical did deserve it. It just shows you how good Enable is. She's beaten Magical on three occasions now that they've met, and of course she was second also at the Crystal Ocean in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot in June, and I just think she just was over to a big race win, which she got. Good race on the rest of the card as well. Of course Edna Bryan had a very good day with four winners, and I thought that Iridescent was a great winner for Joseph Bryan at the Matron Stakes. Lawrence was disappointing this time. She was favourite to win, and just definitely disappointed on the day. She won the race last year for whatever reason. But Iridescent had won the Pretty Polly Stakes at La Curra in early June or late June, and she disappointed in the Oaks, but she came back to winning ways on a fine ride under Wayne Lorden. That was a fine performance. But I thought Sunday then at the Curra was really successful, Patrick. A really feel good factor about, of course, the Pathmullen Cancer Trials race was a real, real success, as we said. 9 champion jockeys. Great race. Great to see Sir Tony McKay winning the race for Sheila Laveries on a horse called Quizzical. Great turnout by the crowd, well over 10,000 people there. The weather wasn't as kind as it was at Leopardstown on Saturday, and there really was a critical factor. A lot of money raised there, just as you were just talking off air there, $2.5 million now raised for the cancer trials, which is fantastic. I think the company themselves, the charity themselves, can't believe how much of a turnout there was and how much great donations made by, you know, senior owners in the game. I think the church has done a great job raising the money. They're all sponsored by different people as well, and on the day there was great fundraising, buckets of, you know, just people putting in money, donating bets, all sorts of things like that. Jockeys donating riding fees as well, of course, as well for the cause. And I thought, you know, it was a very successful day, very, very good race as well. And it was great to see Dermot Weld, actually, probably pining to see Dermot Weld winning the Ledger with a Search for a Song. For Michael Ersutt, of course, one of the big supporters of Pathmullen all his life. And of course, Pat would have been riding that horse. And of course, Chris also won on Tarnawa in the Blandford Stakes, the race that Michael Ersutt sponsored himself. So it was kind of fitting that the last classic was kept at home. Great performance, as I've said, by Pinaturbo. There's no doubt Pinaturbo is Jordan, but Pinatubo. People call him Pina Turbo now. A really fantastic performance in the National Stakes, Patrick. And I knew he was a good horse myself, but I didn't think he was as good as that. He won by 9 lengths. Already odds on now and even money in places for the 2,000 guineas next year. That was a wonderful performance. To win by 9 lengths on that occasion, which was fantastic. Great win for William Buick, who's had his troubles with injury this year. And I think the whole day just went down really, really well. The whole weekend was very good. It was a long day, I suppose, with 9 races on Sunday, but I have to say it was a huge success.
And I suppose, look, Martin, it's Pat's selfless ability to inspire and lead people, like what he has achieved in his career, and he was such a hero in the saddle, but what he's achieved over the past couple of weeks and months just shows the true measure of the man. And we owe him, I suppose, the punters sitting at home or going racing, we owe Pathmullen a huge debt of gratitude and goodwill.
Absolutely, he's a fantastic jockey, a nine-time champion jockey in Ireland. I got to know him, you know, many years ago, but I must say he's a really lovely person. There's no doubt about it, no airs and grace about him. And all that, you know, all the sickness that befell him over the last 2 years, he's obviously, you know, undergoing a very tough time. But yet it's all about the cancer trials, nothing to do with himself. That's what he keeps saying himself. It's all about the money raised. So these, you know, certain drugs can be tried, and pancreatic cancer in particular. And, you know, it's just a selfless person that he is. He's so popular with everybody in the game. And I think that was just a testament to him last week, where everybody turned out, put up so much money and got involved really with the whole thing. It was also nice to see this guy coming out of retirement to actually commentate on the race itself as well. And, you know, Pat is such a nice person. Everybody likes him. You know, a lot of top sportsmen, probably you would say it wouldn't be as nice people, but certainly Pat's Mullen, you know, he's a gentleman. Francis Crowley, a lovely wife, three great kids as well, of course. And you know, it's sad in a lot of ways to see the tough battle he's undergone at the moment, but hopefully things will work out for him very well. It was very sad that he couldn't ride in the race. That was the one thing he wanted to do, because he rode so many big winners at the Curragh over the years. Of course, Finney Rowe won four ledgers for him, and you know, he was synonymous with riding some great winners at the Curragh. He just would love to ride there one last time, and it was just unfortunate that didn't happen. But you know, fair play to the riders like Richard Hughes and, you know, Johnny Murta. Charlie Swan hadn't ridden for since 2003. But to lose the weight and kind of, you know, get themselves into fitness for all that, Joseph Bryan the same. You know, Tony McKay was a struggle for him to do the weight. But, you know, fair play to put in so much effort. But they wouldn't do that unless, you know, Pat was a very popular person, which of course he is. And I think the whole day would be remembered for him.
Yeah, it sure will, indeed. And touch wood, Pat Smullen can come out on the right side of this serious cancer disease that he has picked up. And hopefully we will speak a lot more about the man that is Pat Smullen over the weeks, months and years to come. Apart from that, on the track, Martin, it's been a very busy couple of weeks. Of course, we had the Listowel Festival, and the evening meetings now are coming to a wrap this week.
That's right, indeed. Bannerone for this evening now, and Dundalk, of course, kicks off. And you see Dundalk winning as well as Patrick. It's time to get the fire on again now and settle back every Friday and watch all the action at Dundalk. They had to resurface the track during the summer months, last couple of months. They're going to do a proper job on it next April and take it up and then put it back down again, which will take a couple of months to actually settle down into it. But usual, plenty of big runners tonight. Lots of horses trying to get a run, and some interesting runners there. Bannerone was great. Always been a big success story. Great crowd go there all the time. It's really one of the most progressive tracks in the country, and a fine national meeting there to end off. Has been another great success for the year there. The Soul again, as you said, very, very popular. I was actually at Laytown myself last Wednesday. We hadn't been there for years, and that was a big crowd there as well. It really was. We're looking at the Soul on the big screen there. But, you know, Laytown, such a unique place. Jamie Osborne sent over an awful lot of runners. He sent over seven himself, and he had seven going for him then as well. The Melbourne 10 syndicate had seven other horses going. Unfortunately, he had no winner, but it certainly, you know, was added to the day, and it's really great to see Laytown. I would encourage people to go and see it. Such a unique place to go and see racing, and fair play to the committee up there. They've done a great job. The Soul itself, again, as you said, big success, no question about that. Lots of good winners during the week, and great to see Rachel Blackmore getting a really big winner in the Kerry National. It was really fantastic, and just saying last week there to come. It's really become a ladies' race now, with the likes of Katie Walsh and, of course, Lisa Neilman twice in recent seasons. And, you know, no doubt that Rachel Blackmore, I can't believe it was actually her first winner at the Soul, but she gave that horse a fine ride, and it was a very exciting finish, all told. So lots to look forward to when up and coming in the national home scene over the next couple of weeks when it really kicks into gear.
And finally, Martin, before we look at the weekend's racing, the Irish calendar was announced a fortnight ago now at this stage, and seven additional fixtures, which will see an increase up to a total of 370 fixtures for 2020. A couple of changes as well. We've got six blank Sundays in 2020, so that's actually going to match this year, but there's been a couple of changes to some of those big festivals.
Yeah, and I think, Patrick, from your point of view, I think there is a good move on to end the 6 and 7 day festivals with only seven races and try and finish them a lot earlier than they have done in the past, which I think, I know yourself as you know, bookmakers and that, it'd be a nice thing to do. Also, I think the Curragh going from, you know, going back to Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the Derby is a good move. The Derby will be on the Saturday. We'd have a Sunday meeting as well, but I think going from towards the Friday, Saturday wasn't such a good idea this year. Also, the Curragh meetings in August was four Friday meetings there. Didn't really work. There's only two next year. Two of them have gone on to Saturday and Sunday. As you were saying, important to keep the 6 days blank for the Sunday, for the stable staff. Again, we're blank this Sunday as well, giving a bit of a chance, no doubt about that. It's a tough life having to, you know, go racing on a Sunday and be maybe far from home. It's hard to keep staff when you have to do 6-7 days travelling every week. So all those type of things, yeah, certainly would be of interest. You know, Punchdown Festival is still where it is. Ferry House a bit earlier this year than it was, a bit earlier next year in 2020 than it was last year. That should fit in nicely with Punchdown, don't look too close to Punchdown. Of course, the Galway Festival, the Stall, is actually going a bit later this time. I think the Clown Championship has it moved slightly as well, Patrick, and I think the Stall obviously going behind that this year, which is going back to more of its traditional start of many years ago, and used to be the last week in September. So that'll help. It'll keep away from the Champions Weekend as well, which I think is needed as well. I don't think we really need to clash the Stall with the Champions Weekend, if at all possible. So that won't happen next year. So that's the priority. You just say seven extra fixtures. Certainly the population, our population, is going very well. It's just the obviously uncertainty about Brexit, like everything else in the country. Nobody knows exactly how that is going to work out. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye on that over the next couple of weeks, of course, with talks continuing to be negotiated. Martin, let's get off the tracks, or get on the track stuff for the weekend. Only one meeting done for decision. We've got one of those blank Sundays this coming Sunday. So the only meeting the weekend is at Gorham Park. It's an 8 race card on Saturday afternoon, kicking off at 1:35. We're going to kick off with the third race of the card. That's to the Listen to Beat 102-103 race. Condition stakes for three-year-olds and upwards, with only five declared for this mile contest.
Yeah, tricky little contest, even with the five. There's probably a three-horse race, I suppose. Paddler between Bowerman of Edward McGuinness, Phoenix Open of Geraldine, and Mia Maria of Denver Wells. Bowerman was slightly disappointed in the list race last time at Killarney, having ran very well and went chasing home I Am Superman in the conditions race at Naas. This horse was a decent horse in England last season, and Adam McGuinness would certainly have him carry away for tomorrow. He definitely would have a chance off his rating of 98. Phoenix Open for Geraldine hasn't been seen since, just touched off in a leprechaun handicap by one of Kevin Pendergast early on the season. Hasn't ran for a while, and he must have a chance as well. But I think the one to beat is Mia Maria of Denver Wells. Wasn't beaten all that far by a horse called Goddess in the Group 2 contest at Cora a couple of weeks ago. Had earlier won a Cora Maiden, and I think with the stable in good form at the moment, this could be another winner for Ocean R, who's had a very, very good season himself.
We've got two divisions of the Apprentice Handicap over a mile due off at 3:05 and 3:40 with two full fields of 16.
Yeah, going to be tricky racing here for both punters, for both in both divisions here, Patrick. Certainly wide open race, as you would expect. Pat Martin has an interesting here, horse called Air of Excitement. It was formerly trained by Joseph Ryan, ran a natural cracker in a Sligo Claimer a couple of weeks ago now. Now, unfortunately, he'd be very lowly rated going into it, but a handicapper saw fit to raise him £18. And he's got a bit of a chance here, even though it has a wide draw. Young Liam Brown would be a son of Martin Brown. He takes it out here. He's yet to ride a winner, but he's only had three or four rides. He's not bad, a young rider this lad. He must have a chance. Little Camacho for Anthony McCann was a winner over 7 foreigns at Cork Park early on the season. Only £4 higher now, and must have a bit of a chance. But maybe Jungle for John McConnell, who's had a fine season, both national and flat, has run quite well in recent times and just might have a bit of a chance here under Ross Coakley. The second division then at 3:40, again, another wide open contest. The one I was looking at is the well-drawn Russian Vine for Kevin Coleman, and Shane Cross takes the mount here. Top apprentice is Shane. Has some very good form to his credit, and must here has a very good draw to boot here off number one. I'd give that a very good chance. Steve Sprinter for Dermot Wells, Ben Cohen must have a bit of a chance as well. While the ladies' bid was a narrow winner at Navan last time under Mikey Shee, gave him his first winner, and that's a £5 penalty to carry for that, so that should go well too. The top one, Caesar's Comet, has been knocking on the door over 6 furlongs, stepping up to 7 here. Again, the white draw probably isn't in his favour, so another very open race, but maybe Russian Vine might be the one to lead him home there.
The big race is at 4:15. That's the Denny Cardell Laverick Lanswand Stud Stakes for the fillies. A Group 3 contest over 9.5 furlongs, €72,500 in the prize pot. And we've got a big field here of 15.
Yeah, interesting race. And two English riders here are definitely worthy of note. Queen of Time for Henry Candy and Shenanigans for Roger Varian. Both winners actually have listed races early on the season. And travelling here certainly with a good chance of grabbing some prize money. No doubt about that indeed. Now there's a couple here, I suppose, with chances. Come September for Gavin Cranmer, was a good fourth in the list race at the Stowell last time. That was quite a good effort, and would have to have a chance on that, although the ground would be much different tomorrow compared to what it was at the Stowell, where it was very soft on that occasion. Tipitina was actually disappointing in that Stowell race, but earlier I finished a good second to a filly called Goddess in a similar type race to this one a couple of weeks ago at Gordon Park. So William McCreary's mounting a charge would have a good chance in that one. I was going to go with one of Aidan O'Brien's. He's got a couple in the race, but I think Credenza for Wayne Lorden and himself. This one has been running quite well of late. Finished a good second at Goddess in a good race at Cora a couple of weeks ago. And last week wasn't beaten far by Tanawa in the Blandford Stakes to Cora. They were both fine efforts. If she can reproduce those, and she does normally like to make the running here, she'd have a bit of a chance. Interestingly, Dunnock O'Brien riding a horse called Frosty. Disappointed last time in York, finished last on that occasion, but before that I finished fourth to Goddess when coming from way off the pace. The fact that Dunica is actually riding this one could be significant, Patrick, because he's only a winner or two behind Colin Keane in the battle for the Jockey Championship. Both have ridden around 85-86 winners each, and it could be an interesting battle over the next couple of weeks. Colin is actually riding in Ayr tomorrow, so he won't be in action at Golden. So Dunica has a couple of good chances on the card, and the fact he's riding Frosty signifies that he has a definite chance here.
The Apprentice Handicap is over the same distance for horses rated 50 to 75 and a full field of 17.
Yeah, interesting race in this one. And the top one here, you'd have to say, has a very good chance. Horse called Bigger and Better was a shock winner at Gordon Park a couple of weeks ago, 25-1, and then he made strongly at headway when finishing second at the Stole just last week. He's up another couple of pounds for finishing second, and he hasn't got a great draw to overcome, but I think here under Oisín Ó must have a big chance, even though the draw probably might be against him. It is a competitive race, though. Ultra Pride is a good chance for Robbie Coggan, having finished first and third at the Curra on his last two starts. While Lyrical Attraction for Jarrod Fahey, he's won the most improved horse in training this season, was a good winner last time, and certainly would have to come into the reckoning. Another one that won at Gordon last time was actually a horse called Never Rains for Dennis Hogan, up £10 for a claiming race. We'll find life a bit tougher now. Well, Olympic Honour was a winner early on the season at Gordon Park for John Nicholson, and with Andrew Slattery on board, you'd have to say certainly enters calculations here. So an interesting contest. Just think bigger and better is on the upgrade and might just be the one.
Okay, anything else on the Gordon card on Saturday?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Donegh certainly has a couple of chances. Donegh O'Brien, he's got a good chance in the first race on a filly called Peaceful. He finished ninth on his debut. It was only been about 3.25 lengths, so behind a horse called Adenza at Leopardstown, should improve an awful lot and could be good enough to win that one. But in the last race, he rides an interesting horse called Patrick Sarsfield, trained by his brother Joseph. This one only ran twice as a two-year-old, but hasn't ran for quite a while. Now, he's second in Sydney Upper House at the Curra in September of last year, and before that, I finished third to Mad Moon in a decent decent Leopardstown maiden. Both those runs would suggest that he would be good enough to win here if fully fit. If he just needs to run, maybe a horse called Historia for Joseph Murphy with Gary Carroll on board, third of Cork last time, might be the one to take advantage. But I think that the fact that Dunica rides Patrick Satchfield suggests that he's got a good chance of winning that last race.
Okay, so that's the racing, Gordon. Martin, briefly, we'll just have a touch across the pond. There's racing in Newbury this weekend, and of course we've got the Cesarewitch trial at Newmarket. But the big race of the weekend is up at Ayr, Martin, where we've got the Gold Cup taking place, the Ayr Gold Cup. And we've got an Irish favourite here in Gerlines' Buffer Zone.
Well, it hasn't been a race that we've done very well in over the years, Patrick. That all changed last year when Son of Rest actually dead heated in a thrilling race under Chris Hayes for Crosby Stack with Baron Boy, and that was a very good race indeed. And this year, Buffer Zone carries the flag for the Irish here, Colin Keane, as you say, in Ger Lyons. This one is a much improved horse, formerly trained in England, was bought at the sales by Ger Lyons during the winter months, and then returned to action to win at the Curra and Derby weekend. Then stepped up again on that by winning last week, but finished fifth in the group race before that as well, so just steadily improving the whole time. Now, the interesting thing here, he carries a £5 penalty and kind of due to the conditions of the race, but he actually been raised £8 by the Irish handicapper, so he's got £3 in hand. He's around 5-1, 11-2, and I think the fact that Colin Keane goes over to ride him speaks volumes for his chance. He's got a big draw in 21. Now, I haven't a clue about the draw really in Ayr, and an awful lot of people put an awful lot of store into the draw. It depends where the pace is, but 21 wouldn't be the worst draw, I'd say, and I just think he's travelled so well last week and won very well. He must have an outstanding chance, but the one big danger, I think, to him is a horse actually that finished third to him at the Curra last week, a horse called Gulliver. This one's trained by David O'Mara, and that was a well-backed horse last week at the Curra. I know it's plenty of money before the off, and he just was definitely very unlucky in running. He came home very strongly in speed, less than 2 lengths by Buffer Zone, and now he's £5 better off. So I just have a feeling that Gulliver could be the one here with Jason Hart on board, and he's second favourite around 8-1, 9-1 at the moment. It just really caught my eye last week the way he ran. He's been well back for this, and he might just be good enough to beat Buffer Zone at the revised weight tomorrow.
Okay, some interesting racing there at Ayr. We'll be keeping a close eye on that. Martin, before we let you go, your best bets of the weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to go along, despite the fact that Donegh O'Brien rides Frosty for his father. I think Credenza is a very good chance in that 4:15 at the Curra tomorrow. But I also would be interested in take a chance on Mia Maria for Dermerwild in the 2:35 event.
Martin Murphy of Horse Racing Ireland, thank you very much for joining us this week, and we look forward to catching up with you next week. We'll be looking at the 2-day autumn fixture at the Curra and, of course, the opening National Hunt fixture at Navan next weekend.
No problem, Patrick. Take care of yourself.
Your horse racing preview was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland and Cork Racecourse Mallow, giving you expert insight into this weekend's racing.